You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to bring us choices in life. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for those of you that don't know, I am married to that beautiful redhead over there in the front row. And that's really good for me, because if I didn't, I would have to be like in the dating scene. And the more and more I hear about the dating scene right now, the more and more thankful I am that I am not in that. And in kind of that vein, I want to introduce you to somebody named Luke Holloway. Now, some of you may already know Luke Holloway. And Mr. Luke Holloway, he has this job where he is a composer and music producer. And what he does, normally speaking, is that he produces music for live theatrical events. And so he produces the music that's being used for that. A lot of times it's electronic music that's kind of working in the background of what is happening in those events. And so and that's normally kind of what he does, but he kind of has this side gig. And he does this side gig with his wife, and the side gig is that, what he started to do was he started to make other songs. And these songs were songs that were sort of parody songs, and they were songs that come from, just sort of bad Tinder and Hinge conversations. And so what he does, he goes by the name Lukey when he's doing this. And what he does is he takes those bad conversations that people have when they're dating with one another, and he turns those conversations into songs. Well, one of those bad Tinder conversations ended up being sort of this breakout hit, at least if you are watching TikTok or Reels or one of those. A lot of times you'll hear it going on in the background of what's happening, and just so that I don't get it wrong, I'm going to read it off to you. The big hit is called "I Have One Daughter." So the lyrics go like this: It's two people talking to one another. So the guy starts off, "Do you have any kids?" And I assume that this is sort of like in the midst of a conversation. "Do you have any kids?" And this is all being auto-tuned, by the way. It's excellent. You need to listen to it later. Don't listen to any of the other stuff. I can't recommend that. There's one about cocaine. "Do you have any kids?" The lady responds, "Yes, I have one daughter. How about you?" The man then responds, "How many baby daddies do you have, if you don't mind me asking?" Now, think about that for a moment. She has one daughter. And so the response then is this great thing, and you really need to hear it auto-tuned. It just kind of chimes in, "Ellipses." And the ellipses, if you don't know what an ellipses is, it's those three dots that just kind of give you that feeling of, I'm thinking. I'm thinking about how much of an idiot you are. All of those things. And then she responds again, "I have one daughter." Because obviously this dude is not picking up on that. And he says, "I understand. And is she by the same father?" Again, she says, "I have one daughter." Again, he says, "I understand, and is she by the same father?" And this is where the song ends, just with her saying, "I don't understand." Well, at the end of that, we're left with kind of this moment of, wow, this conversation isn't going much further. You know, there's a fundamental disconnect. These two people that are trying to kind of figure one another out are just unable to at this point. And what I think we kind of can hold on to in the midst of these readings that we have for today is that concept of the ellipses. That moment of just kind of like, I'm trying to process what's happening here. How are you not getting this? And I think if we keep that in our mind, it'll help us as we're looking at some of these readings. So we start off with that reading from Deuteronomy. That reading from Deuteronomy that is a great reading. It starts off, it's Moses at the end of his career. So Moses has had this phenomenal career. He's had this moment where he's gone to Egypt. He's done some crazy things there. He's escaped from Egypt. He's talked to God as a burning bush. He's left God from the burning bush with a mission to go and free the people of Israel. He goes and he frees the people of Israel. They go across the Red Sea and they're running away from Pharaoh. Pharaoh ends up drowning, but then they end up going to this mountain called Sinai. And then when they're up at this mountain called Sinai, God gives them the Ten Commandments. But, oh, the people of Israel are down there. They're worshiping a golden calf. It's a crazy, crazy thing. Moses comes down. There's all sorts of nuts stuff that we can talk about later there. But he's really angry. And so then they kind of get back together. They're going through the wilderness. They're walking through. It ends up taking them way longer than what it should. And there's all of this stuff happening. And now they're finally at the precipice right before the Promised Land. And they're ready to go into the Promised Land. And Moses is like, I'm not going with you. So I'm going to give you this big, long speech. And that is the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is just that big, long speech. And this here is at the end of that big, long speech. And so it's kind of like he says, therefore, right before this. It's like he says, okay, now that all of this stuff has happened, now that we've been through all of this stuff, basically it all comes down to this. God is telling you, I am laying before you life and good, life and prosperity, and death and adversity, death and evil. And he's kind of saying, well, make a choice. Well, of course, that's a really kind of dumb choice, right? God's like, hey, here's life and good, here's death and evil. Here's a lot of good stuff is going to happen to you, here's a lot of bad stuff is going to happen to you. Which are you going to choose? And it's almost like the people of Israel don't get it. Just like the gentleman from the Tinder conversation. Because from here on out, we know what the story of Israel is like. We know that their story involves them doing their sins all over again, needing to be forgiven all over again, needing to sacrifice for their sins, needing all of that stuff, all of that leading all the way up even to when Jesus comes. Because, well, it's not just Israel. It's actually our story, too. That we hear God offer us that choice. And so many times, well, we choose death. We choose evil. We choose adversity. And God, in his divine and infinite wisdom, must look at us and say, ellipses. Just what's going on with y'all? I mean, it shows up again in the Psalms, right? In Psalm 1, Psalm 1, the one that's supposed to kind of color the rest of the Psalms, the one that's supposed to be sort of the introduction, the one that's supposed to kind of give us this sense of what the rest of the Psalms are supposed to be about. There's this guy who's a blessed man. He's planted like a tree near rivers of water, planted by the word of God, planted by everything that's going to sustain their life. And then there's this evil person, this wicked person, this person that is supposed to be avoided, this person that is not supposed to be emulated, the person that we don't want to be. And yet so often, who do we try to emulate? Ellipses. Because there's something about it. There's something that we just go, I want to choose what's wrong. I want to choose what's evil. I want to choose even what's wicked. Then we jump into that story from Philemon, that story that is a really interesting story. It's one of the shortest books of the Bible. You heard almost the entire book today, by the way, short, about two or three verses. I thought about throwing them in there so that you could just say, boom, check it off, I read a book of the Bible. But if you want to do that, just go and read three more verses. You've got it done. I mean, talk about a way to start off your week. You can go and brag to that, you know, just like, hey, you know what I did this weekend? I read Philemon. But in Philemon, you've got this thing where Paul is laying a choice again before this guy named Philemon. Now, the choice is that he's got this servant, a bond servant, kind of slave named Onesimus. And Onesimus has, it appears, run away from his owner, run away from his boss, run away from the person that is supposed to be watching over him. And Paul is saying, hey, I'm sending him back to you. Please don't basically beat him. But instead, treat him as a brother in Christ because, well, he's been serving me. He's a Christian now. All of that's okay. And we never get what happens with Onesimus and Philemon. But we're kind of hoping that Philemon sort of takes Paul's words and says, okay, I'm going to take that and I'm going to treat you nicely. But we don't know, right? And we know us, right? We know that we don't always choose life and good. Sometimes we choose death and adversity. We do all of that. And that's our sinful nature. It's the thing that we recognize. It's the thing that you maybe were confessing when we had that time of confession absolution earlier. It's that thing that you maybe recognize as you're thinking about it today. It's that thing inside of you that tends to just choose the wrong stuff. And because we know that we're there, because we know that we commit those sins, because we can think about them and just think this past week, okay, what were those sins? Okay, I've got them. We know that we need a solution to that. We need a solution to the fact that we have sinned. We need a solution to the fact that we've broken the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. The third commandment, that you should remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The fourth commandment, that you should honor your father and your mother. The fifth commandment, that you should not kill. The sixth commandment, that you should not commit adultery. The seventh commandment, that you should not steal. The eighth commandment, that you should not damage somebody's reputation, false witness against your neighbors. The ninth commandment, that you should not covet your neighbor's house. The 10th commandment, that you should not basically covet your neighbor's life. All of those things, and even more. As we go through that list, we kind of go, oh, yeah. Yeah. I need a Savior. And to that need, God says, I have one son. My only begotten son. I'm going to provide him as a sacrifice for your sins. I'm going to provide him for all of those moments where I look down at humanity and I have to say, ellipses, what are you guys doing? I'm going to provide him to work out our relationship. I'm going to provide him my one son to be your savior. And then we get into that gospel reading. The gospel reading that, whoo, boy, talk about a challenging reading, right? But it's challenging for a reason. It's challenging because he's the one son. He's the one who has been provided for us. There is no other person who's been provided for us. It's not us. We're not going to be able to pay for our own sins. We're not going to be able to live completely righteous lives. And so it's got to be him. And he says, follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me, the one son who's been provided for you. Because our cross is not his cross. Our cross is insignificant compared to his. Our cross is the small little decisions that we get to make in the midst of our salvation. So think about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to bet that you're going to wear something on the bottom half of your body. You know, pants, skirt, whatever. God is not going to reveal himself to show you if you should wear the khaki or the denim. God gives that to you as a choice. God gives that to you as something that you can do and you can choose. God gives you all sorts of other choices that you have. The only choice that he doesn't give you is if you're loved by him. Because you are. There will be choices this week that are difficult for you. There will be choices that you have to think about. And in the midst of those choices, as you go out into this week, when you find a choice, whether it's, you know, what kind of pub sub you're going to get after church, remember that you have that choice. But you don't have the choice if God's going to love you enough to send his son to die for you. Because he's taken that choice for you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.